I really feel excited about today with the graduation of some of you here today, and also knowing that we have other young people here, young adults here. Well, it's every age, actually. But we don't know how long God is going to give us. You know, we were given a life, and we have a certain amount of time. And sometimes we don't say the things that we really feel are important, you know. And sometimes the chance will go; it's gone, you know. And so today, you know, since I don't know how much time I have, and I'm talking about my life, okay, because we don't know how long we will, like, 1 hour to the next, 1 second to the next. The Lord could call us home. And so I think it's good, you know, in these kind of times, especially considering lives, young lives, it's important to say what you feel is necessary for them to know. Right? Really what's in your heart of hearts that you really feel like you want to say and you never had a chance to say, or you were afraid to say it, or you were shy to say it. Or you just feel like, you know, all these different reasons that we don't really get to say something to someone. How often I've heard from people who said, I wish that I had told this person that I love them before they died. You know, let's talk real. How I wish that I had said that I love them, you know, and really told them what I felt about them in that kind of a way. And it's so important to grasp the moment. So I want to just tell you guys, grasp the moment that you're living in. Begin to think about the things that you really have on your heart of hearts, that you will not only think about them, but that you will put them into practice, into words, that you will say that thing to the person, I love you, I care about you. Take a risk on the truth that's in your heart, that God puts there, and say the things that you feel for people. Now, I'm talking about good things because we're made in the image of God. We are here to speak of and to live good things. We're here to do good because God is good. Amen? And so he gives us an amount of time. And nobody knows how much time each of us is going to have. Right? And so it's not a real, like, heavy kind of fear that we live every moment and like, oh, you know, I could go at any moment. But there is a healthy fear of God that the Bible teaches that is good for us. Because we want to, before we leave this earth, we want to have the conversation with God to tell him, I love you. Amen? Now, we're all thinking about different people in our lives when we're thinking about that. But God was putting it on our hearts today to say, I am the one who created you. Now, we talk about God the Father. We talk about God the Son. We talk about God the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we call the Comforter the Holy Spirit and all these different kind of things. How often do we really talk about God as our Creator? And that is a very humbling thing. Do you know why? Because just like the Psalm says, it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. Do you hear the wisdom in that? That is wisdom. Why is it wisdom? Because it is taking us out of ourselves. It's taking us into a place of humbleness. I remember John Piper one time was told, you know, a lesson from the Bible. And he was holding on to his own ability to do things. And so he said, really, I am chosen by God. I mean, God gave me this life and everything like that. Who dropped the pencil? And he drops the pencil on the floor. He said, did God drop the pencil on the floor? No, it was me. So that's pride. Right? That's pride. I'm the one that does things, not God. It is God who has made me and not myself. And that is a very, very wise statement in the Bible that teaches us that God is first. God is greater than we are. And so that is the moment that we start to think, why am I here What is my purpose for being here and living and breathing today? And God says, open my word and I will show you why. Right? And he takes us through his word and shows us that we were made by him, right, to do his work, to glorify his name in all that we do and say. So I just want you to remember that. Take a moment and think, right? When you're going into a new grade, you're approaching a new time in your life. But grip the moment. Hold on to that moment, right? Live the moment that you're in for God. And remember your Creator. Remember that you came from him. And that is the way we begin here, right? It's the beginning. And you're starting something new. You're going into a new school. You're going into a new grade. People could be going into a new job. You could be going into a new house. You could go into a new place to live in another country. You could do other, always making a new beginning. But this is where we begin. In every one of those moments, we remember from whom we come, and it is by his hands we are made. And that is great wisdom. Right, to remember that there is a God there. You go to school in public schools. I think most of you, there are some that may go to a private school. But it's mapped out for you. You live in a town, you live in Ridgefield Park, you live in other towns that we all have grown up with. And they say, okay, you're going to follow this pattern, you're going to go to this school, and you're going to be assigned this teacher for homeroom. And then, you know, when you're in the elementary grades, you have the same teacher through and through. It's only one person, right? Imagine, think about that. You're spending an entire year, or maybe more, with one teacher the entire year through, right? Then and then also they're going to expect you to achieve and to be able to come to the point where you know certain things that are in that school, right? You want to be able to achieve those things. And so you take classes and you learn the lessons and you have all those different kind of things and they want you to learn them. And what do? You listen to your teacher. What happens if you don't? One time, I was going through a hard time with my parents, okay? I was in a really bad way. Really bad way. I mean, I was sleeping in my car outside our house. Okay? It was that bad. And I went to school, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I was really going through all these things. And so I cut class. For this one class, it was English, and I knew this woman, Mrs. Carr, I still remember her, and she had my sisters before me, and every time when you have five sisters that are older than you are, all of the teachers say, I knew your sister, number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and now I know you. And so they had a relationship with me even before I got in the room, and I didn't know whether I liked it or not, but they knew me. And you know what happened? I came into school the next day without an excuse. I was marked absent. I didn't have any excuse, right? I was sleeping in my car because I didn't want to be around my parents. It was that bad. And I go into school the next day and I sit down in Mrs. Carr's class and she said, do you have a slip? And I was like, no. And she said, do you have a slip? Do you have a slip that says you're absent? Do you have an excuse? Do you get that in school? You guys have that where you have to give an excuse, you have to give an absent, like a slip of some kind that shows, yes, I was sick. Your parents have to write it out for you, right? And so I was just like really cringing and I was like, oh, just leave me alone, you know? I got a lot of going on in my mind and I don't want to be here. And now you're calling me out in front of the whole class. And she said, wait a minute, Mr. Maxim. For the first time, she calls me Mr. Maxim. And I knew I was in big trouble. And she said, are you telling me that you cut my class? And I don't remember if I could say anything at all. And so she gave me punishment for it. Why? Because she cared about me. And also because it was my responsibility, according to the rules of the school, that I needed to do what I was told in that situation. I had to get a slip. I had to go back. I had to admit that I was gone. I had to talk to my parents about it. They had to write something down to say I was missing school, but she gave me detention. And she was right, because that's what happens when you break the rules. Somehow, guys, somehow, we follow the rules in public schools, but we don't follow the rules of God. Somehow. Now, why do you think that is? Think about that for a moment. Why do we feel like I don't need to do what God tells me to do, but I have to listen to my teacher and I have to go to detention after school because I broke a rule? And if I do something wrong, I'm going to have to do something for it. So why is it when God tells us something to do, we don't? And that's what I'm going to say to you today. How are you going to live your life? Are you going to live by the rules in the world that doesn't know God, it's a world run by Satan, the Bible tells us. But yet we're going to follow the rules in the place that we live in this world. But we will not follow the voice and listen to the voice of our Creator, who gave us life and promises us great blessing when we do what we're told. So what I want to say to you is this. You have a school, a public school that you're going to, but you're also in the school of Christ. You are in the school of Christ when you're a Christian. When you profess that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you are baptized and you come out of that water and you give your life to Christ, you belong in the school of Christ. That's where you attend, and you have to abide by those rules. And why? Because they're for your good. Not so that you'll get in all, you're going to be all tied up in knots, so your life is going to be miserable. So that you can have the chance to live your life to give God glory. So what voices are you listening to in your life now that are contrary to God, yet you feel like in your life you know that you're supposed to be doing what God wants you to do, but you're not listening to him? So you want to ask yourself that kind of a question. Why am I doing that? So we look at the story in the Bible, right? We go back to the beginning and look at this kind of a situation. It's exactly the same thing. And that's where it started. God gives mankind unimaginable gifts at his disposal, man and woman, everything possible. Love between the two of them, walking together in unity, having all these wonderful things. They hear from God. You can eat any kind of, from any tree in the entire garden, just one, you're not allowed to eat of. So one day, right, they're walking with God and they're enjoying it, and they're naked, but they're not even aware of their nakedness. They're just like, everything is just perfectly good. And then this serpent comes up, and this other voice comes and says, did God really tell you you couldn't eat of that tree? And Adam and Eve fall into sin. They listen to the voice that is not God's, and they don't listen to God. They're tempted to do wrong. They listen to the other voice that deceives them and pulls them into sin. And it has an effect on every human being after that. You and me, born into sin because of the fall of the first man and woman into sin. It came with a cost, a devastating cost, right? That is what it cost them. And they listen to this serpent who came up, and a clever being that sought to separate them from God who created them. And that's exactly what we do. We go along, we say, God has given me so much. Think about what you have in the world. I would say that we're very spoiled living here. Spoiled beyond belief. Spoiled. I broke my phone. Can I have another one? Thanks. Right. I need money for this. Can I have it, please? Okay, thanks. I want to go on this trip. Can you give me money for it? Thanks. I want to join this kind of a thing, an event, and this kind of things. Can you give me the money? Thanks. But when it comes to going to church, when it comes to spending time with Christians, when it comes to spending time in your Bible, when it spends, people are saying, I can't do it because I don't have time. And you know what you're doing? You're saying, I don't want God. That's what you're saying. That's what I was saying. And so there's a big moment coming in your lives. And you know what it is? An opportunity. What God is saying here to us today is that you have an opportunity. You are created in my image so that you could resemble me. And you reflect me. You resemble me and you reflect me. And so that is the opportunity going to school. I belong to Christ. I listen to his voice. How simple can that be, right? There's a guy that wrote a book that we've been using to do some study of the word and to be able to prepare people for baptism, but I think it's great for us to look at for our daily lives. And this guy went out of his way to try to help us to be able to understand the meaning of these kind of things, what it means to obey the Creator and to honor him above all else, above all kingdoms, above all everything. That is what we're supposed to be here for. He said, you know the story, there was a guy named Chesterton, and he wrote a book, and in the book, he was a very wise person, and he said, it would show a certain ingratitude for Cinderella to complain about the necessity of the rule, given how unnecessary was the gift. He wrote, if Cinderella says, how is it that I must leave the ball at 12? Her godmother might answer, how is it that you are going there until 12. You catch it? So this is the attitude, and he's very wise in pointing this out. And that rings a bell with me when I was a kid, when I was running into problems. You can go, and I want you back by 11. I want you back by 12. You go to your friends, and they say, I'm going home at 1. Oh! How come I have to go home at 12? They're going out, they get to stay out until 1. So what he's saying there is this. Instead of asking, how come I don't get to stay out till 1, how about being thankful that you get to stay there until 12? It's about gratitude for our lives. It's about giving God praise and glory. We just sang praises to his name. Why? Because he gave us life. He gave us his image to live in this world. He gave us life. One tree out of all these others that they're not supposed to eat from, and they went right for that one. What does that tell you about us? That we're ungrateful. All these things, all these wonderful things in life that you have at your disposal, man, and you say, no, I'm going for that one that you said I can't have. That shows an ungrateful heart. And it's called sin. Because God is the King of the universe. He is the Creator of all things. And we think we can get away with measuring ourselves against him. Guys, it's important that you understand who you are if you're sitting here today and who you represent, right? You have to understand who it is that you represent. And it's not just for kids. It's not just for young adults. It's for every one of us to understand who God is. He is our Creator, and he has given us a purpose on earth to glorify his name and to be his witnesses, to reflect him to let people know who we are, to let people know that we serve a king. So when you go to school, remember you're going to the school by the name of the one that goes in your town, but you are a child of God and you are a member of the school of Christ. The kingdom of God. And there's going to be times in your life where you're tempted to do something because someone gives you a different answer or a different thing to do than what you were told to do. And it's important at that moment to understand that if you break that rule and you break the trust with whoever it is, your parents or with God at the same time, then you are sinning. And stand upon the truth. Be the light. Stand on the truth in your school. Show them what is right. The world needs to know the truth of God. They need to know what is right and wrong. Right? You can have a great time. You can have a wonderful time exploring and having new friends and new experiences and things like that. But it's so important that we maintain this focus, this identity, and knowing that, yes, by the grace of God, I am going into another school. By the grace of God, I am going to college. By the grace of God, I have these opportunities in front of me. But make God your focal point. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Amen? So these are the things that God really wants us to think about today, is our Creator, where we came from, what He has given us, the immense amount of things. I want to tell you one quick version of this story, and then I'm going to stop, okay? Because this is going to be continued. I don't know if you know it or not, but everyone in this room is invested in each other's lives. This is just a short, it's longer sermon than I thought, but we are invested in you, and we think about you. We think about each other. We pray for one another in the school of Christ. We pray for your well-being, that you will stay close to God, that you will have a devotional each day, that you will have the ability and the strength to say no to temptation and live for God. There's an investment in those things. And you might even leave the church and go somewhere else when you go to college, but still we're connected through Christ. And we are connected for a reason, because the body of Christ is meant to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to support one another, to sweat when somebody's going astray and pray that they would come back to God. That's what we're called to. We're invested in these things. So when you go to school in a new school, we're going with you. Why? Because we're connected through God. And that's the design that God has given to us, the great design that we are saved and brought into the family of God. Right? So what was the story? The story is this, okay? I hope this will be helpful in some way. Daniel was taken from his home and taken in slavery because of God's judgment on Israel from his home into Babylon. When he got there, he was recognized as being one of the really, really top people among the Jews. Okay, they did tests, you know, and they looked at people and came up with this plan to take the best, you know, educated and, you know, in different ways, they had ways of looking at people. And then they took them and brought them under the king to serve the king in the kingdom. And in order to do that, they were going to educate them, but they also gave them the best food of the king. Right? So Daniel is taken to this place, and his diet is strictly ruled by the law of God. He was forbidden to eat certain kinds of food. So he's taken there, and they take him as a slave, and they put him into this king's school, and they say, you're going to eat this, 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 and this now. And Daniel said, I can't do that. And the guy that was assigned to him said, "You're going to get me in so much trouble. Can you please just go along with the plan? Can you just eat the food, you know? It's just whatever. Just do what you're told," like that. And Daniel said, "No, because I listen to the voice of God, not to that of the king. And I'll tell you what, let's have a test. And for this period of time, I will just eat what I want to eat, which is a vegetarian kind of a diet. And we'll do a test at the end of that time. And at the end of that time, we'll see if I'm just as strong as all the other people that are eating the other food that the king is giving to them." And the time goes by. And the guy comes to him and he runs the test and he sees that Daniel is much, 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 much more healthy and stronger than the others that were eating all of this other food that was like wine and meats and all kinds of different things that they were given. And the reason that I tell you that story is because I really believe that that story is meant to tell us something so that we will have an answer to something that worries us. What if I don't listen to God? And what if I do the other things that people are telling me to do? What if I just forget about him and I do all these other things? Well, first of all, you are being ungrateful to God. And second of all, you're being disobedient to God. But more than that, you are forfeiting blessing beyond compare when you take and do the things that people tell you to do and not listen to God. Not only was he strong, he was much, 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 much stronger than all the other people because he said, "No, I will only eat the things that God has written in his word for us to eat, and that's what I'm going to do." And so what I want you to say, what I want to say to you is this. Trust God. Trust in the truth that is found in God's word, that when you obey him, you're going to find and you're going to be blessed in ways that you cannot even think about. That you, like Daniel, will be filled with all kinds of blessings that would not have been there had he said, "No, I'm going to disobey that rule and go there." But you know what else he did by doing what he did? He showed you and me how to live. He showed you and me what it means to be a true Christian, a true follower of God. That when it comes down to it, the ways of God are the ways that I'm going to have to follow. Because he gave me my life. He's my creator. And I am to obey him. Right? I am to obey him and follow his ways. The other things may look really, really, you know, attractive. They're going to look really, really like, "Oh, this is too hard to pass up. And if I don't do that, my friends are not going to like me. And if I don't do this, then I'm going to miss out in this kind of a way." Trust God. Trust God. Go to him and say that. "Lord, if I don't do that, I'm not going to be as popular. If I don't do that, I'm not going to achieve the things that I think that I can achieve. You're asking too much." Trust him. That's all I'm asking. Trust him. Right? So make sure, right, that we're excited and we're looking forward to these opportunities coming up. But beware, right? There are going to be times when you feel that you're going to forget about God and forfeit gold for dirt. The choice is yours. Do you want gold or do you want dirt? And much more than that, God looks at the heart. He looks at our heart. He wants to see, do you love me? Do you love me? Right? Do you understand that I love you so much that I gave my son for you? Do you understand that I gave all that I had for you so that you would be saved and that you would have life abundantly, right? So believe in God. Stay in him. Remain in him. Resemble him in all that you act like. Even if it's hard, especially when it's hard. And then reflect him to other people so that they say, wow, that's the way it's supposed to be. Be that example to them. And God will bless you for it. Amen? So that's what I wanted to say. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps it to come out the right way. But I just pray that all of us here will continue to give thanks for our lives and offer every moment and everything that we have for His glory. Let's sing a song of response as we prepare for communion.